This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
As Japan deals with a catastrophic earthquake, other regions of the world prepare for tsunamis.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. In the aftermath of the magnitude 8.9 quake in Japan, a lot of the Pacific Rim, including Hawaii and much of the U.S. West Coast, are bracing for the possibility of catastrophic waves. First, I want to bring in the BBC's Duncan Bartlett, the former Tokyo bureau chief who's with us now from London. He's going to give us a little context on what the situation is like in Japan. He lived there for so many years. And the northern city of Sendai has reportedly been hit particularly hard. Good morning, Duncan.
Good morning.
What communication have you had with Japan so far today?
Well, I've been talking to people in Tokyo via email, and I can tell you that a lot of people are still trapped in their offices. They're unable to go home because there are no trains or commuter services running. And the only thing that they're able to do is to watch the television reports on their mobile phones. Now, of course, the situation in Tokyo is a lot better than it is in the northeast of Japan, where those television pictures are coming from.
What kind of preparations can be done or have been taking place in Japan? Because they've been expecting a big earthquake, right, for a long time.
Almost the first thing children learn at school in Japan is how to respond to a major earthquake. And those drills have become even more common in the wake of the earthquake in New Zealand a few weeks ago. But nobody expected, of course, something on this scale. Having said that, of course, the emergency services have prepared for a big earthquake in Japan for a long time, and they are now carrying out the procedures which they've rehearsed for many, many times.
Is Japan equipped to handle an earthquake this large?
This is the largest earthquake that Japan has ever experienced. So this will be a test as to whether it is equipped. But nothing really could prepare the city of Sendai for something on this scale. There was nothing that anybody could do to prepare for that, Steve.
The BBC's Duncan Bartlett joining us from London. Duncan, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
And there's fear those tsunami waves could be headed to Hawaii, as we talked about it, across the Pacific, too, where tsunami warnings are in effect today. Marketplace's Adrian Hill is live with us on the phone from Honolulu, where it's just about, 7 minutes to two over there. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning, Steve.
Where are you? What's it like over there?
Well, I'm right on the ocean at a hotel in Waikiki on the island of Oahu. The hotel has evacuated all the guests below the sixth floor to higher floors, and I'm on the 17th, so sort of well out of the way of any storm surge or waves they might be expecting. If that hit comes, we're expecting it in about an hour and a half. We've had sirens every hour here. Police are going down the street on megaphones telling visitors to go straight to their hotel rooms.
How is the experience, Adrian, different in Honolulu?
Well, this is the tourism capital of Hawaii. Right here on Waikiki earlier this evening, I was walking down the beaches, and they were packed with people in their Hawaiian shirts enjoying themselves. There are thousands of tourists here. Now the streets and the beach that I can see outside the window are just empty, so people have gotten the word. And tourists are figuring it out in their own ways. Earlier this evening, I went down to buy some extra water just in case, and there were long lines at the convenience store, people buying water, bread, cereal, and they were closing it down, so the employees could get out of there.
Marketplace's Adrian Hill in Honolulu. Adrian, stay safe, please.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, let's do the numbers. Global markets are lower at the moment, and Tokyo stocks were down 2% for obvious reasons. Oil prices are down today to about $101 a barrel in trading. In Wall Street action yesterday, the Dow tanked yesterday, down 228 points to close at 11,984.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. by Mass Mutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality. And by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com.
On to some other economic news of interest. Off to Utah now, where in the area of immigration, that state is doing something very different from its neighbor to the south, Arizona. Immigration bills passed in the legislature would tighten enforcement, but they would also create a guest worker program. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler explains.
Hispanic activists plan to sue Utah if the governor signs a proposed immigration enforcement bill, sort of a watered-down version of Arizona's controversial law. Utah State Representative Steven Sandstrom wrote the bill.
It requires police to, verify immigration status for Class A misdemeanors and felonies.
A competing bill would create a guest worker program. Undocumented workers currently in the state would pay a fine of $2,500. Then they could work in Utah legally. But that would still conflict with federal law.
I am absolutely opposed to this bill. This bill is blatantly unconstitutional.
If the bill is signed into law, Sandstrom expects lawsuits, and he worries that it would be interpreted as a kind of amnesty.
It's going to attract tens of thousands of illegal aliens here.
Ron Mortensen is founder of the Utah Coalition on Illegal Immigration.
I think it would be devastating to our school systems, to our social services systems, and it would be very, very difficult on legal workers trying to obtain jobs.
Others say Utah's economy would suffer without a guest worker program. As for the expense of defending a guest worker program in court, Mark Shurtleff, Utah's Republican Attorney General, says there may not be any lawsuits. That's because a guest worker program wouldn't start for another 2 years. During that time, he'll try to negotiate a waiver from the federal government, allowing Utah to move forward with its experiment. Shurtleff's been in Washington this week drumming up support.
I mentioned this in the White House meeting, that we can show that a red state, Utah, is going to step up and say there's a way we can work together with the federal government toward the mutual benefit and to ultimately comprehensive, just, reasonable, and workable immigration reform.
He wants Congress to embrace a national compact, a series of guiding principles for immigration reform. A similar compact in Utah helped politicians set aside partisan concerns and focus strictly on the economics of immigration. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And a reminder, you can check out more of our coverage of the earthquake in Japan at marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Covering the economy is a 24/7, 365 kind of thing. So every Friday, we get a little help from our friends.
We were sinking fast, and we had no idea whether the world was coming to an end or not.
Oil goes high enough, people stop driving, they stop buying cars, they stop going out to eat.
There are bumps in the road, but consumers are starting to feel better.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Weekly Wrap, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.